My name is Connor O'Gara, and this is the Saturday Down South podcast. We have a special guest with us today. Former Georgia offensive tackle and two-time All-American Matt Stinchcomb is with us. Of course, you know Matt from his work with the SEC Network as a college football analyst. Matt, how are we doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. Has this been a fun college football season or what?
Man, I can't believe that we're already talking about week five. It's crazy. I mean, this season has absolutely flown by so far, but you're right. It's been extremely entertaining.
It's been a crazy matchup, some wild endings. You know, we've had a couple come down to the bitter end for the losing team anyway. Florida's been involved in two of them already. Some amazing come-from-behind victories, a couple of dismantlings of teams. It's been interesting to watch 4 weeks in.
Very true. Well, Matt, we'll get into some of the football stuff, but first, we want to just say that, you know, you're here on behalf of the Allstate AFCA Good Works team. The 2017 Allstate AFCA Good Works team includes 11 players from the NCAA football subdivision, 11 players from the NCAA football championship subdivision, divisions 2 and 3, and the NAIA, and honorary coach Pat Fitzgerald. Before we dig into some SEC talk, why don't you tell us about the fine work that's been done with the Good Works team?
Well, the whole point of this team is to recognize these young men that kind of exemplify all that's good that's coming out of college football. And we only get to name 22 of them, but I assure you there are a couple hundred more behind just these 22 names that we're able to recognize. And it's really difficult. I can speak as a selection committee member to identify, you know, who is the best among these young men, because they are doing remarkable things. Not only just in and around their schools and their campuses, but also in their hometowns and other countries. So the idea that we are given this chance to recognize them and to kind of highlight the work that they're doing and the influence that they could potentially have on others, to encourage them to do the same, to find a way to give back and to selflessly kind of impact others in a positive way. That's the ultimate goal here. It's not just to recognize these 22, but to inspire the next 22 and then the next 22. And for them, when they're done playing college football, to go live, work, and play somewhere and influence people around them to be a positive influence in their communities there as well. So there's a great hope that there is a multiplier effect that exists, and we've certainly seen that borne out over the years that this team has been put together and recognized nationally.
A lot of negative headlines, I think, in college sports this week, especially after the college basketball scandal that sort of unfolded. And this is just tremendous, tremendous work that needs to be highlighted. If you want to learn more about the Good Works team and vote on this year's captain, fans can go to ESPN.com/Allstate. All right, Matt, let's get into this. We're 4 weeks into the season, and as usual, there are no shortage of interesting topics to discuss in the SEC. Who has been your most pleasant surprise so far?
You know, Mississippi State up until last week, was playing really good ball. I would say, I can't say that I'm surprised, but I've been impressed by Kentucky. Last week, you don't want to say that it was a fluky loss, but they played good ball, and they didn't cover a receiver twice. I can't remember a time when I've ever said that, and I'd not be making up at least one of those instances. You know, the fact that it happened twice in a game is remarkable unto itself. But they're playing much better football than they were a season ago. And offensively, they can still improve. Defensively, they're much improved. They're far from a perfect team. But they have been surprising. You know, South Carolina was playing good ball, and they lose Debo Samuel. And I thought maybe that, you know, between South Carolina and Kentucky, those were the dark horse candidates in the East Division. You know, a surprise in a negative direction, I think, for many, and I can't say that that I'm shocked, because I didn't think that they were going to have as good a year as maybe some thought, as LSU. And it seems like that's a program that very much has a lot more questions than anybody anticipated. So they've had some difficulty I don't think that anyone saw coming. So are they a contender in the West Division the way most thought? I don't think that they are. And they've got to get it figured out as far as how they're going to get the offense back on the rails. Darius Geis being banged up, an offensive line that's had multiple different lineups, a quarterback, you don't want to call it a controversy, but true freshmen that are getting reps. You know, we never know coming into the season, but there have certainly been some curveballs already this year.
Your Georgia Bulldogs have looked very solid to start off the season. Year two of the Kirby Smart era has been, so far, just a smashing success. You've been following this program closely virtually your whole life. The dynamic that's at play with the quarterback situation, I think, is atypical, to say the least. Jake Fromm has done everything Kirby Smart has asked of him, stepping in for Jacob Eason. Now Eason is expected to return to the team soon. What do you make of this whole situation, the way it's played out?
Well, I think it couldn't have played out any better for Georgia, in that you've got a returning veteran quarterback, only sophomore year, get injured in your opener, and you have a true freshman who was highly regarded coming out of high school, who is proven to be more than capable of stepping up and filling that gap. Obviously, there is no way to simulate experience, so Jake Fromm is gaining that game by game. Jacob Eason, he's already got a season under his belt. There's no way for Fromm to replicate that. You can't synthesize that. You just got to play games. And so far, he's done a pretty good job. You know, Notre Dame, I don't think they win that game because of Jake Fromm. I think they won it with Jake Fromm. But last week versus Mississippi State, it wasn't as if that victory was in spite of the quarterback play. The quarterback play was very solid. And you can see that the confidence is expanding. Not only, I think, in and of himself, but offensively in general, what do we have at quarterback and what are we capable of doing with a true freshman? You know, that's going to expand as long as he's able to continue to protect the football and make the plays that are there, which I think was demonstrated versus Mississippi State. I think that this situation, and I doubt anyone's going to call me for my opinion over at Athens, but I think Jake Fromm will have to play his way out of this position. I don't know if Jacob Eason is going to be capable of winning the job back in practice. And that's just, to me, it's a hard thing to do, because how do you know? You can't simulate a game there. So unless there's a sizable gap in performance the other 5 and 6 days of the week where we all don't get to see Georgia play, then I don't see Jake Fromm being unseated unless he starts playing poorly and compromises the team's chance for victory each game that they play.
You've seen what a quarterback decision can do to a locker room. I'm sure that, you know, maybe there are guys in that locker room that want to see Jacob Eason get his job back and don't feel that it's necessarily fair that it took injury for him to ultimately lose a job that was very much his. What kind of divide can that create? A divide in a locker room, is that something that guys talk about, where they're sitting there and they're debating who the best guy to lead their team is? Or is this something that we just make a bigger deal of in the media?
You know, I think this one's different. You know, you've got a guy that he's went down in the opener, and he's been down for a while now, you know, basically for 4 games, and the team's played well. I don't foresee it being an issue, frankly. It'd be one thing if you've got two guys that are perceivedly anyway performing at a similar level and they're splitting time or a scenario like that, but that's not the case here. Right now, to me, the locker rooms that I've been in, and I don't know that there's been one that's unique from this, they want to win. And they want to go out there and play with the guy who gives them the best chance to win. And right now, Georgia's winning. And if you're winning with a true freshman and quarterback, then great. And if you're winning with a 5-year starter at quarterback, great. I don't care. You know, if they were to ask me, I don't care who he is, you know, what his name is, where he's from. If we're winning with him, then I'm okay with playing with him. And I think ultimately that's the calculus that every team goes through, is who are we going to win with? You know, if we're going to win with this guy, then why would we change that? You know, and right now they're playing good football and they're building on that. The offense, as in general, is playing good football. And, you know, if ultimately if Jacob Eason gives Georgia a better chance to win, that guy should play. And right now, Jake Fromm, if he gives Georgia a better chance to win, that guy should play. And I think that's the only thing that these guys are going to weigh out. And I don't think it has very much to do with the circumstance in which the current starter got the job.
We're seeing Georgia kind of emerge into this, you know, this formidable power. And I think after the statement that they made against Mississippi State, I think a lot of people were looking at this team and saying, you know what, year two of Kirby Smart, the defense is playing at this elite level. And I think people kind of step back and realize Georgia could be for real. Is Georgia the team that could actually challenge Alabama? Maybe give the Tide the best challenge that they've seen so far in the college football playoff.
I think possibly. I don't know how good Mississippi State is. You know, that's the kind of let's pump the brakes type of thing is, you know, how good is Mississippi State? They beat LSU. How good is LSU? You know, Mississippi State will play Auburn. I think Auburn's probably being undersold right now. They're not what they thought they could be offensively. They get Kerryon Johnson back. Maybe that helps. You know, Jarrett Stidham hadn't set the world on fire, but the expectations were probably inappropriate, to say the least, coming into the season of him. You know, so how good's Auburn? You know, right now we're still kind of in that, you know, who's beating who and how good is whoever they've beaten, that sort of thing. And it's hard to get past that this early in the year. But given what we've seen, the way the defense has performed, the way that true freshman quarterbacks have been able to achieve success, if in fact Jake Fromm keeps the job, then yeah, I mean, based on the four games that we've all had a chance to eyeball, I would say that Georgia seems to be the closest contender at this point in the season to Alabama.
You were higher on Mississippi, as you kind of alluded to earlier, you were higher on Mississippi State in the preseason than I think most were. I saw you had them predicted for the, you know, to beat LSU, and I think that might have raised a few eyebrows, at least in the preseason. Do you think, though, that, I mean, even seeing what you saw last week against Georgia, do you think this is a Mississippi State team that can at least make some noise and stay relevant in the division race, maybe into November?
Yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, the way my mentality on Mississippi State was that I think that they are, first of all, I felt like they were being a little bit underappreciated. But, of course, it's all pig and a poke in the preseason. We think we know. We have no idea. And none of us do. But having seen Mississippi State as many times as I did last year, I think we did three of their games. And having seen what Todd Grantham can do with the defense, and prior to Georgia, he had enjoyed a good bit of success so far this year. LSU kind of being the standard setter, I think that was probably the game that most evaluated the defensive improvement for Mississippi State on. And now we're learning maybe it wasn't the best proxy for that sort of thing. That said, I do think that they can play spoiler. You know, I think they're gonna wreck somebody's season. Maybe they already have. Maybe they were the ones that derailed LSU. Who knows? LSU might get it back on the rails. I don't know. I do think that they're more than good enough to win some more games this year. I think I had them finishing 7-5. They might do better than that. They might. I had them losing to Auburn, I think, this week in the preseason, which is, as I said, all just outright speculation in the preseason. But based on what we've seen, you know, I think that there's opportunity for them to do that. It'll be a tough out, I think, because I think Auburn's being undersold right now. But, you know, Mississippi State, I think, is going to be able to mess up a couple of folks' seasons and maybe even play above their heads and eclipse the 7-win mark this year.
I think a question that a lot of SEC fans have, and it just seems like this year this question has been heightened extremely. I don't know what it is, but it seems like pretty much every coach who has an SEC loss already is on some sort of proverbial hot seat. Who, though, do you think is the first coach that's fired in the SEC this year?
Let's say that last part again.
Who do you think is the first coach in the SEC that's fired this year?
I have no idea. I don't know that any coach will get fired this year. I do know that if you talk to any of these coaches, they'll say that, hey, man, we're always on the hot seat. I think they're right. I mean, you look at coaches that come in and have enjoyed almost immediate success. You know, Les Miles comes in year one, 2005. He plays for a conference championship. You got Urban Meyer. He wins a national championship in year two. Gene Chizik does it at Auburn in year two. You know, this has been done. I think it took Saban all of 1 year to go undefeated in the regular season and contend for an SEC championship in 2008. You know, it doesn't take teams for them to be able to get to a championship caliber level. And so because of that, I think the expectations are always heightened for just about every program in the conference.
That's a fair thing to say. I mean, expectations, I think, are at an all-time high, especially in the college football playoff era. Is the SEC as down as everyone says it is, or has that just been overblown? We just don't know exactly who is formed into the contenders yet.
Come on. I mean, I love the whole SEC is down. The SEC is down relative to the SEC in previous years. I mean, the run of dominance in the BCS era is, you know, somewhat unprecedented, right? You know, you had an LSU champion, an Auburn champion, an Alabama champion, a Florida champion. The SEC is down in that. Are we going to see that type of round robin at the top end of the conference? I don't think so. Not on a national scale. Show me another conference that has. Everybody's high on the Big Ten right now because of the supposed contenders they have. They haven't played each other. Get into conference play, which is what undoes the SEC as far as potential contenders just about every year. LSU was thought to be this potential team that could unseat Alabama until they played Mississippi State. It wasn't when they played BYU in the opener. And so, you know, the idea the SEC is down, I always get a kick out of that. The SEC is down. I would agree with that. Relative to the SEC in previous years, absolutely. Who's got the best conference this year right now? Everybody looks kind of pretty. But because Alabama is the outlier, and this is what I would kind of observe to anyone, put Alabama in any other conference and tell me that, and based on what they've been able to achieve, not even just this year, and tell me that they're not a one-team conference.
I think that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Because that's kind of what's been the SEC's been – they label the SEC, oh, they're a one-team conference. Well, why do you say that? Because they have the best team in the country year in and year out in their conference? Okay. Now put that same team in your conference. Are you now a one-team conference? Yes, you are. There's right now, you would say, and I think you could fairly say, that Alabama is without peer. You don't see this level of achievement consistently at a championship level. They didn't win the championship last year. They played for it, and they won it the year before. You know, Clemson maybe. Clemson might be the next program that's doing that, and they're proving a lot of people wrong already this year for overlooking them, me included. So maybe Clemson's the closest approximation, and they're in the ACC. Is the ACC a one-team conference? You know, it looks like they might be this year. Put Alabama in the ACC. At the very least, they're a two-team conference. So I think that's what's kind of skewed the perception of the SEC is that they have an outlier program in Alabama right now.
Matt, you've been so gracious with your time. We'll get you out with these two final questions here. Give me your division champs and your SEC champ.
You know, as it sits right now, I think you'll see Alabama and Georgia in a 2012 rematch. This time Kirby Smart will be on the opposite sideline, so we'll see how it shakes out.
I think that's a fair thing to say right now. Are you willing to go with the Georgia upset? Is this a Georgia team that could beat Alabama in an SEC championship?
No, I wouldn't say that. I haven't seen enough out of Georgia yet to say that.
We'll hold off on that just for now. One final thing. I'd be remiss if I did not ask you. A little birdie told me that you had a killer Steve Spurrier imitation. Would you mind doing a Steve Spurrier imitation of the Florida Gator season and how it's gone so far?
Yeah, well, I tell you, sometimes you got to rotate your quarterback. And we did it. We do it one play, and then we put another one in there. So we'll see how that works out for the Gators. So far it's working out pretty good. So play those quarterbacks and win those games. That's all that matters.
That's spot on. That's really good. Do you have a Kirby Smart imitation yet?
Yeah, I'm working on that one. I'm not sure I'm ready to take the bubble wrap off of that one yet.
We'll workshop that one. We'll next time we talk to you, we'll get back to a Kirby Smart imitation. Maybe you'll get to talk about a you know, Georgia making an SEC run and potentially getting to Atlanta, and you'll have plenty of material to work with, I'm sure.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, that's a good plan.
Well, Matt, we really appreciate you. You were here on behalf of the Allstate AFCA Good Works team. Just tremendous work done being over there. We appreciate you taking some time out of your busy day. Wish you the best of luck the rest of the season.
Excellent. Yep. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Matt Stidgecombe, former Georgia All-American. Thank you very much for your time, Matt.
Thank you.